Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We've got lots of great questions lined up, including some Disney Cruise Line questions, questions about either or with different Disney resorts. Lots of fun, so stand by for that. First, a word from our sponsors. That includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm down to just 39 days to go until a possible trip down to Walt Disney World here in the spring. It may or may not happen, but either way, I've been counting down each and every day with my great app. It's red for Cardinals here in the spring. I've got the font that I love. Pictures. I'm looking at a picture of Toy Story Mania. Man, I wish I was on that right now. It just turned my Apple device, my iPhone 7 Plus, into a Disney device. And you can do the same right now with this and other great apps. So check them out today over at virtualmickey.com. We'd also like to welcome a new sponsor of the show, and that's our friends over at MilkSnob.com. They've been seen on Shark Tank. The iconic Milk Snob cover is a 5-in-1 and can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. Milk Snob's covers are designed, manufactured, and safety tested in the USA. If you're looking for the perfect baby shower or new mom gift, this is it. Even more exciting, Milk Snob has partnered with the wonderful World of Disney. They have just released a magical collection, and we're thrilled to highlight each character they offer throughout this month. This week, let's talk about the mouse himself, because they have released a Mickey cover. Those famous ears peeking through black and white stripes to show any parents Disney style. Head over to MilkSnob.com to see their designs and make your first magical order. Again, that's MilkSnob.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1298 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thanks for dropping in for yet another listener question show, where the show is driven by you, the listener. You write us the question. We pop it open here on the computer and answer it the best we can, and we love talking about random Disney topics throughout the show. It's always fun, because we could talk about Disney Cruise Line. We may talk about an Adventures by Disney. We may head out to Disneyland. And, of course, lots of great questions surrounding your upcoming Walt Disney World trips. So it's always a good time. So even if you don't have a trip planned, you can escape virtually with us here for the next 30 or so minutes. So Ricky is AWOL today. She is still just returning from her great weekend down at Walt Disney World and at Universal, celebrating her dad's amazing 65th birthday. So happy birthday to Rick. But joining me today to have some fun talk, and we're going to be talking about Flower and Garden 2018 here on Friday. But today, again, your listener questions. Joining me from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Pam Forrester, co-owner of The Magic for Less Travel. Welcome back to reality, Pam. I know it's a tough, tough transition.
Yes, it is. That's all I can say. I mean, let's just say it. If you have not been to Epcot's Flower and Garden Festival, you need to make arrangements and get down there, because it is one of my favorite times to visit Epcot in particular. Plan a weekend trip if you haven't done it yet this year. You can still get down there because it runs through June, right? I mean, it runs for a long time. So you can still get down there and see it, but everything looks beautiful. It seriously does. The food booths, there are nearly as many food booths as there are during Food and Wine. It's good food. And it's not as crowded as Food and Wine. I'm just going to say that. Although I hate to talk this up so much, because then there'll be tons of people there. But no, it's just such a fun time to be there. And by the way, who doesn't need a weekend to get the heck out of our weather, wherever you are, except for the people who are already in nice weather. And then I don't want to talk to you about
that. Yeah, so tell me about that, man. It's pouring in like 40 degrees right now as we record. It's terrible. You know, like we had tastes of like 75 and sunny already. That's the worst. Like, like, you think you've turned the corner in the Midwest. Nah, this is there's a chance for snow tomorrow. So it's ridiculous. And I know people had the big nor'easter last week. So I'm glad everybody's safe and sound. And it sounds like everybody escaped with minimal damage for most people I've heard. But I know it did affect some of my guests' travel. And they finally made it down to Disney for some awesome sun and fun. But you know what? With Flower and Garden, I'll tell you that I never really considered this time of year to go down for this festival until I went down for a media event a few years ago, and it happened to be during this time of the year, during Flower and Garden, and it really does, you know, I think Food and Wine is just a fun festival atmosphere, but I've said this before, I think there's something for the soul for getting down there, say in February, March, April, you know, to be able to see all these beautiful flowers, the greenery, and just especially Epcot at its best. And I think mm-hmm. you've kind of hit that on the head. It really does you good to kind of kick off spring and summer by, you know, heading down to Florida for maybe a weekend or maybe just 4 or 5 days and getting to breathe in some warm air and see some flowers.
I will say just a long weekend does wonders for me. It's like I come back and I'm like, okay, I can make it through the rest of this time. I can make it through the rest of this crappy weather. So anyways, I'm back and I think I can make it.
Yeah, baseball's got spring training, so I'm just telling myself spring is around the corner. Actually, this weekend, daylight savings time kicks in, another milestone.
No,
so there we go. So we
not
lose the
my
hour
favorite,
of sleep,
though, but because we lose sleep.
Yeah, but what can you do? At least, like I was telling Pam, we were on a walk last weekend on Sunday night, and I said, you know, this time next week it'll be, you know, light till almost 7:30. So there's something to be said for that. So I'm excited
for
that.
I agree.
All right, Ashley's got the first question titled "Resort Options for a Family of Five." Hey, BOGP crew, I'm currently planning my family's first Disney trip, and we're beyond excited. First trip. I love it, Ashley. You're going to have a great time. That'll be myself, my husband, our three kids. They're 7, a boy, and a 4-year-old girl. We're currently booked for 7 nights in a suite at Art of Animation because that separate bedroom sounds great in case the youngest needs a midday nap. And know the kids will all love the theming of Art of Animation. However, we recently were in Central Florida, and we went over to spend a little time at Disney Springs in the boat to Riverside, bust over to tour Art of Animation, and hopped over to the Polynesian at night to eat Dole Whips while watching the fireworks. That might have been a huge mistake because we're now questioning our resort choice. Uh-oh. The theming of Art of Animation was great, but Riverside and the Polynesian were so much more relaxed and so well themed. So now I'm curious, what would you all do? Is the Polynesian worth all that extra money? Would 5 people be cramped in a Riverside room for 7 days? Is there another suite option I'm not seeing, or am I just overthinking it? All these options. Thanks for your input. Love listening to you guys every week. Ashley's out in Ohio. All right, so Pam, this is kind of the quintessential Disney podcast listener question here. It's that you've made a decision. You're excited for that trip. And then you start down that rabbit hole of, but what if? And, you know, I think that's a great thing. I think that's kind of what makes the whole Disney community what it is, because with Walt Disney World, there really is just option on top of option. And that's why we have discussion boards and podcasts and Facebook pages and stuff like that, which is fun. But I think it can also be a trap. So walk Ashley through this, because, again, I think that the unique thing about this is it's their first trip and they do want to have room because they have 5 people. So what's your best suggestion to Ashley here?
Well, Ashley, first of all, I applaud that you're thinking about your comfort in a hotel room, because I think oftentimes guests think about it from a price point perspective only. And while I absolutely understand that and want everyone to be able to find something that works for them in their budget, I think that the thing that most people discount or don't even think about sometimes is your comfort is worth something. I mean, it should be worth a lot, but sometimes comfort comes down lower on the list than budget considerations. And I get that. But sometimes the difference between having a good vacation and a great vacation does really rely a little bit on the fact that you have to think about your comfort when you're choosing to stay there. So anyways, I'm just going to say big props to you for that. And we've all been lured by the Polynesian, I will say, at different times, don't you think? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, you're there and you're like, oh my goodness, this looks relaxing. It has the monorail. The music is awesome. By the way, I can smell Ohana and what they're cooking tonight for that dinner. So anyways, it's a great choice. And the rooms at the Polynesian are big. They have 2 queen size beds. And also a full size, it's not a trundle, but like a day bed, a couch that converts to a bed at night. So that's something to consider. I think other big pluses for the Polynesian are also the fact that I mentioned, like, it is on the monorail line. And let's just say being able to watch the fireworks from the beach is kind of a big deal. It's very cool. We all have nights where we're like, oh, I want to see the fireworks, but I don't want to fight that crowd. Guess what? When you're staying at the Polynesian, you don't have to. So that's something to consider too. Now, I also love your choice of Art of Animation, because Art of Animation not only has that separate bedroom area, but it also has a small kitchenette, which has a microwave and a coffee maker and a refrigerator. And I think that sometimes the microwave is a good thing for some families, especially I think breakfast in the morning. There's lots of things that can be microwaved easily. That's a good consideration too. And the bedding situation at the family suites is such that the parents get a it's just a queen size bed in the bedroom. But then there's a table that pulls, where a bed pulls down from the wall, it converts, and a couch that pulls out, and then another chair as well. So it technically can sleep up to 6 guests. So that's fun too. Love the fact that the Art of Animation is within walking distance of Pop. So you have access not only to the food court at Art of Animation, but also the food court over there at Pop Century. And that's fun. You can try different dishes. You just have another option that's within walking distance. So that's great. And love the pool area at Art of Animation too. Some other resorts that can also accommodate up to 5 are pretty much any of the deluxe resort choices can accommodate 5, except for Animal Kingdom Lodge and Wilderness Lodge. They do not accommodate 5 in their standard rooms. They have other rooms that will accommodate 5, but in their standard rooms, they do not. The other deluxe resorts do. So you can consider any of those. And finally, the Port Orleans Riverside and Caribbean Beach can accommodate up to 5. I will say that these rooms can accommodate up to 5, but I feel as if that pull-down bed that they have at both Caribbean Beach and Port Orleans Riverside makes the room feel a little small, and it takes away some of the storage. And for me, that means that the rooms aren't as functional. Again, if this is the one that's in your budget, though, I'm not saying that there's a bad choice in the bunch. I think that's what you can walk away, feeling comfortable with. But my decision when you have something like this is make the decision and stick with it, unless you're really unsure about things. But don't let yourself waver on this, because there really isn't a bad choice. Just have to pick the one that's right for your family.
Yeah, and this is something that we've all gone through. But what I would do, Ashley, is stick with Art of Animation. You got the family suite, you got the space, and your kids are at the perfect age for that environment. And you're a Disney fan, and your husband, I'm sure, is as well. And, you're going to Disney, so you're going to get a lot of that over-the-top theming at Art of Animation and Pop Century by, proxy, because you're so close there at Hourglass Lake in the middle. But I think you're going to have a great time. Your kids are going to enjoy it. The bus service is fine. You're missing out on the amenities like boat rides to Disney Springs, monorails to, the Magic Kingdom if you're at the Polynesian. And, Polynesian has better dining and so forth. But it's a first trip. Go to Art of Animation, enjoy it, have a great time, because the truth is you'll probably be going back, and that's the time to maybe explore staying at a Riverside or a Polynesian. So just go with Art of Animation, and you're going to have a great trip. The kids are going to be raving, you're going to be raving, and everybody's going to be happy. So that's my best advice on that one. All right, next question. We're heading up to Canada. Hey, BOGP Podcast. My name is Elise, and I'm from Newfoundland, Canada. I'm a new BOGP listener and have fell in love with the podcast. It gets me through my work days and gets my wheels churning for my fall 2019 trip. My boyfriend and I are planning our first trip to Disney together for 12 to 14 days in the fall of 2019, which is a long way away yet, but living so far away, I have to start my planning early. My boyfriend has never been. I've been every other year since I can remember. I wish I could go more, but I'm a half a continent away. However, I'm definitely well-versed in the Disney lifestyle. My question is this. My boyfriend gets a bit anxious in crowds, which we realize is inevitable, but I'd like his first trip there to be as enjoyable as possible. Ideally, we'd like to go in October into November so we can experience both Halloween and Christmas. I've been almost every month of the year, but I've never done Halloween or Christmas. However, we are open to the idea of going in September when the crowds might be a little better, and also free dining may be available if history repeats itself. And that way, at least we'll experience Halloween and Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. You know what? The podcast just got tagged for saying those two magic words, probably. We're going to be in trouble. Anyway, I don't know if people know this, like on the inside, that iTunes does scan Disney podcasts for keywords, and those are the two right now. Anyway, so she says, would you say late September is any better crowd-wise than October/November, or are they about the same? I also know Star Wars Land is set to open late 2019, which may affect the crowds as well, but I'm just wondering under normal circumstances. Thanks for your help, and thanks for bringing some Disney magic three times weekly. Elise. All right. So first of all, you're going to have a great time. And here's what I love about our listeners. Our listeners are very thoughtful and they think things through. And I love that she's thinking not only about dining and resorts and stuff like that, but her boyfriend is not a big fan of the crowds. And so, of course, Walt Disney World, that is kind of inevitable. You're going to catch yourself in an attraction that's you know, a little shoulder to shoulder from time to time, maybe a bus ride, maybe a boat, stuff like that. Payne, what would you say? They're looking at, you know, trying to see the Christmas and Halloween kind of in one trip, 12 to 14 nights. Sounds like they can definitely do that. But if they move it back to September, will that necessarily mean less crowds and a better experience for a boyfriend just doing Halloween stuff?
Oh, golly. You know, this is one of those questions that's so challenging, I think, because, again, there's no wrong answer to this. I think there's a few things to consider when looking at September versus late October, November dates. First of all, how do you feel about the weather? Because in September, it's typically going to be warmer than it is in October and November. So that may impact your decision a little bit. The other thing I think to consider is, you know, how important is it to see both of those? I mean, I think the Magic Kingdom does a really good job, you know, putting up decorations for the fall, getting into the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party fun. I think that trick-or-treating in the Magic Kingdom is awesome. It does that. But Christmas is a whole nother ball of wax, I think, you know. And in early November, you won't see all of that. But once, you know, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party starts, once those dates start and they start having those parties, the Magic Kingdom is pretty much decked out for Christmas. And the other resorts, as well as the theme parks, really start bringing that all out after Thanksgiving. So that's something to think about too. Which, if there's one of them that's more important for you to see, then I think definitely, you know, go with that one in particular. I don't think, though, that either of your dates is going to be that much less crowded than the other. I will say, if you're traveling in September and they happen to release some version of free dining, dining will become more challenging to book. So make sure that you do that 180 days in advance. But, you know, I think that both of those are great times to go. Typically going to be not as many crowds.
I think that, you know, we're used to looking at history. I mean, that's the best indicator we have of what we can use to predict what's going to happen in the future, is, you know, what's happened in previous years. And looking back 8, 9, 10 years ago, September was just, it was that dead period. you know, you could go there and the park hours were shorter and there just weren't that many people in the parks, even in the resorts. So that would have been a great time if your boyfriend is trying to avoid the crowds. Unfortunately, I think, especially with 2019 being a big year for Disney, I don't think, like you said, you mentioned this, I don't think the crowd patterns will be significantly different between those two times a year. And it really sounds like you both want to have new experiences, and in the Christmas Halloween slash kind of crossover time, that couple of weeks there is something that looks like it's high on her list. So I would say, you know, just go and don't, you know, just do the best you can. Go early in the morning, take a midday break when the crowds get bigger, you know, hop if it gets too crowded, you know, to a different park, maybe go back and just go to Disney Springs where you can kind of escape the crowds at some point. And, you know, do that and go and see Christmas and Halloween at the same time. If you're going to be there for 12 or 14 nights, that's a great time to do it. And you get two seasons in one. You know, it sounds like that's what she's looking for. I would go for that. I think you're going to be fine. All right. We actually gave a great answer. I like it. All right. So another question here from Katie. Hey, Mike, my husband and I are a newly married couple with champagne taste on a beer budget. I love that. We are saving money to buy a house and also want a trip to Disney to be in our 2-year plan. I haven't been to Disney in quite a few years, but when I went to Disney as a child and young adult, my family and I always stayed in deluxe hotels. Because my past experiences with Disney accommodations have been pretty luxurious, I'm worried I'll be disappointed with the less expensive Disney accommodations, even though they are all my husband and I can hope to afford given our financial goals. I'm thinking about planning a stay at the newly renovated rooms at Pop Century, but I'm also considering Port Orleans Riverside. Do you think I'd be happy at Pop Century, or should we try to swing a moderate or even deluxe resort? As a side note, we're thinking this will be a special couples trip to Disney before kids come along. Do you think Pop Century will feel special enough for us? Thanks so much. I love the show. Katie's in Philadelphia. All right, I love her introduction there. Champagne taste on a beer budget. You know, God, that is the story of my life sometimes. I am not kidding. And I'm sure everybody's shaking their heads and laughing right along. That's how we all feel. But so I think that, you know, she grew up staying at deluxe resorts with her family. Now she's starting her own family, or will be soon, you know, her and her husband here. And, you know, funds are a little tight, but they still want to have some Disney magic. And if you know me, and we, you know, maybe we have two different opinions on this, I've grown up basically at Pop Century since it opened. You know, when Paige was little, we always stayed at Pop. You know, we had a great time. I mean, that's what got us hooked on Disney vacations, was how much fun we had staying at a hotel like Pop Century. I would say if you're a Disney fan, and, you know, a trip is really what you make of it mentally. You know, it's your expectations and how you go into the trip. But I think you could have a blast at Pop. I love the new rooms. Now, if you can splurge a little, Riverside does feel more, to me, champagne taste. You know, like, I know I'm not a big, you know, like, fancy guy, but Riverside seems kind of luxurious to me. I love it. I like the boats. I like having a table service restaurant. I just love the manicured lawns of the mansions and the kind of rustic feel of Alligator Bayou. I've bought in 100% of Riverside. That's my jam, and I know it's not yours, but it is mine. I love it. So, you know, it does feel a little bit nicer. It feels more subtle themed, you know, pretty themed than a Pop Century that is a Disney over-the-top theme. Both are fun, and I love both, but I do consider Riverside a little bit more of a splurge. So Pop Century, I think you're going to be fine. If that's what the budget allows, you're going to have a great time. If you find an extra $500 and you can swing Riverside for just, you know, that amount of difference, maybe go for it. So what are your thoughts on this? You know, because she is growing up in a deluxe family and kind of having to scale it back. And I think a lot of people have to do this when they go out on their own. You know, they want to continue the tradition of going to Disney. But of course, mom and pop might have had a little bit deeper pocketbooks than you have when you're a new couple, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I completely understand what she's thinking about. And I'm just, you know, I'm going to go over maybe briefly the difference between the value and moderate resorts, because Mike touched on a few things. And so you'll have to see how much these things are of value to, you know, you when you're traveling. So the moderate resorts are typically going to have, right now they have double side beds. They're in the process of upgrading to Pop Century so that there is one queen size bed and one pull down queen size bed in the room. And if you've had a chance to look at we have a good video with the Magic for Less Travel on our YouTube channel. You can check it out, what the new rooms look like. Not all the rooms are done yet. I'm not sure when the date for that is going to be complete for the renovation. And the rest of the value resorts, of course, have the two double beds in their rooms. They can accommodate up to 4 guests. They don't have a coffee maker. The moderate resorts do have a coffee maker in the room. For some people, that's absolutely a make or break. I'm serious. I'm not kidding. And I get it. I mean, some people need coffee before they step out and meet the public. And we appreciate that they stay in a room that has a coffee maker, if that's the case. So the value and the moderates will have a refrigerator in the room, so you don't have to worry about that. When you're staying at a moderate resort, you're going to have access to a pool, a feature pool that has a slide. And that's kind of a cool thing. It also feels more like sort of a resort feel, don't you think, Mike? It has like a...
Yeah, it's like kind of like the bar. Yeah, the bar seems... I mean, because, you know, Pop Century has Petals, which is a nice little pool bar, but I don't know, like... This sounds kind of dumb, but like the bars that are at the moderate pools kind of seem like they're just more of a happening place. I don't know. Yeah. Like they seem more of like a hut right next to it. I don't know, because they're serving the same thing. I mean, you want a beer, you want a drink, they're going to do it either at Petals or, you know, the Coronado Springs bar, the Riverside bar, doesn't matter. They just seem a little nicer though. Sometimes they have a few hot items too.
It seems like more of a resort feel, I feel. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's a complete package, sort of, with the, you know, the bars that are available at the moderate resorts versus the value resorts. So that's something to consider. Also, the moderate resorts do have a table service location, like Mike had mentioned. And I think sometimes it's a big deal. I mean, I appreciate there are many Disney quick service locations that I think are great quick service locations. But there comes a point in time in your vacation where you're like, oh, my goodness, I just want to sit down and have people bring food to me so that I don't have to go find a table and go through all that. So I think that's a big plus. The boat, I think, from Port Orleans Riverside in particular over to the Disney Springs area, I think is such a huge plus, because the Disney Springs area has just turned into a place that I think everybody really wants to visit. I think it used to just sort of complement the parks, and now I think for some, it's its own destination. It has great restaurants, lots of things to do, shopping, entertainment, and so much more. So I think that that's a big plus for Port Orleans Riverside in that space. And those are some of the differences between the two.
And plus, too, I would say don't exclude, if this is one of your reasons, in one of the previous listeners that wrote in from today's show, don't exclude looking at maybe an old Key West like Deluxe Studio, because it does have the boat service to Disney Springs. Yep. And it has that kind of nice feel. I like the feel of old Key West, and it's got I can't keep talking about Olivia's. I gotta stop. It doesn't have Olivia's, which is one of the best restaurants ever. Anyway, all right, so good luck with that. All right, next question. I like the title of this one. It's Best Advice Ever, period. Oh. It's from Michael. He says, Mike, just want to say thank you for the best tip ever from episode 1292. You're cueing me in on the magnifying glass tool on the iPhone with a flashlight. It's the best thing ever for these 43-year-old eyes. Love the show. Longtime listener. Thanks for all that you, Pam, and Ricky do. Oh, and he's only 2,533 miles away in Portland to Pittsburgh. So he says thank you. So, yeah, see, look at that. Ricky laughs at us old fogies here that need little help there. And I know we look kind of silly there, using that flashlight. And I'm telling you, San Angel, and if you do not use this, you are just guessing as to what's going to come out on the plate.
Right? You may order something and something shows up and you're like, huh.
Dude, it is so dark in there. I bump into stuff going to the bathroom in that place. It's crazy. I love the atmosphere, but Lord help me if I'm trying to order something off that menu. So anyway, Kelsey's up next. Hey, BOGP crew, I love listening to your show on my long commute before teaching theater. I've always wanted to share how thankful I am for your informative, upbeat, and engaging podcast, and I finally have a question. Well, thank you, Kelsey. Kelsey's a theater teacher. She could teach us a few things, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
Acting! Just kidding. That was what they used to say on Saturday Night Live, at least. My boyfriend and I are surprising his sister and brother-in-law with a trip to Orlando. They're huge Harry Potter fans. So we'll be spending most of our time at the other place. Sorry, Mike, but we couldn't go to Orlando without visiting the Magic Kingdom for a day. All right, Kelsey, we will let you continue to listen to the show. The day we are attending, their evening extra magic hours, but we're not staying on site. Is there any chance of us catching the kiss goodnight before we have to leave the park? They have never seen it, and I would love to share that special moment with them. Thanks for everything. Warmly, Kelsey. We're not letting Harry Potter fans see the kiss goodnight. That is never going to happen. No. That's only for true blue Disney fans. All right, no. So seriously, Pam, I don't think that's possible if you can't stay, because it's after park hours, right?
It is. It is after the park closes. Sometimes they do it in the last little bit of time that the park's open. I've noticed them doing that. It's funny because that schedule in particular changes often. I have seen them do it, soon after they've done the fireworks and we still had like an hour or so of the park to go. But I typically see it after the park is closing. But since you're going to Universal, you have to check out the new fireworks show and the new, show in general that's being projected right there on Hogwarts, the Hogwarts Castle. It is fantastic. We saw it over the holidays. They have a new incarnation of it that is not holiday themed. It's more Harry Potter themed. And it is a great nighttime show. So don't think that you're going to be missing, lots of fun nighttime shows because you're going to be spending time at Universal. They have some great offerings as well.
All right. Next up is Francesca with DCL questions. We love that because, ding, 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 this week, summer 2019 itineraries have been announced, which means BR Guest Podcast Cruise 5.0 is coming right at you. So check out the Facebook page. By the time you're hearing this show, we have probably made a decision. We're finalizing things at the time of recording. We're going to have a date. We want to book those as soon as possible while the rates are the lowest. So go by the Facebook page. We'll have all the information. You can put in your free no obligation quote. We'll get you the numbers. We'll find out about the categories, the staterooms, all that stuff for you. We promise it's going to be a blast. We'll record from the ship. We'll run 5Ks. We'll do all kinds of stuff. It's going to be a fun time. We'll even have some stuff on land this time around for five cruises, podcast cruises. We're going to do a little land and sea combo probably. So check out all the details. We'll have a special quick podcast episode with more information. It may have hit already, maybe not quite yet. So just watch the feed for that, but we'll have it everywhere. But you want to jump on that right away. If you're thinking about doing it, get a quote, get a hold, check out the details, and we'll get you set. We are going to have a great time sailing on the Disney Cruise Line again. So can't wait. Lots of, I'm sure folks that have sailed with us before are going to go again, and lots of new listeners with us this time, we hope as well. So watch for that. So let's get back to Francesca's question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My name is Francesca and I am from New York, about 370 miles from Pam. My family and I have gone on a few Walt Disney World vacations over the past few years, and I love listening to your podcast, both to help plan and to keep the magic alive in between trips. Thanks so much. My question is related to Disney Cruise Line. My family has been thinking about taking a cruise as a big group, but we're not just Disney cruise newbies. We'll be first-time cruisers in general. We have never had the experience, so not sure what to look for or how to decide on which ship is best, the time of year, etc. We're thinking of traveling to the Caribbean, including Castaway Cay. Castaway Key. I hate when I see that in writing. It got me. Oh, no, I'm a newbie. Castaway Key. What are the differences in the ships, and what time of year is best for the Caribbean cruising? Also, if there are some folks that tend to get seasick, can you recommend the best option for a stateroom location? Thanks in advance for any intel you can give us. Appreciate it so much. Keep up the great work, Francesca. All right, Francesca, first of all, man, when you open that first, getting into cruising is amazing, because especially Disney Cruise Line, they just do it so, so well. If you're a Disney fan and a parks fan, trust me, I love going to the Disney parks. They're an immersive experience that gets me away from reality. But man, when you get on a Disney Cruise Line ship, take that times 10. It's amazing because you're seeing just the most beautiful places, especially the Caribbean. I'm a huge fan of the Caribbean. That's where I always cruise, Bahamas, Caribbean. And also, she's talking about taking a big family group. There's nothing, and we've said this many, many times, and this kind of gets back to the podcast cruise. Taking a cruise in general is amazing, just your family. It's a great time. But when you get to share experiences that you'll get to have on a cruise with those that you love, and the bigger the group, the better, when you get to do a tasting or go see a show or be hypnotized or whatever it is. I mean, fold towels even, play bingo, you know, go run a 5K on an island in the Caribbean. Whatever it is, it's more fun with friends and family. It truly, truly is. So a group cruise, always, always a great idea. But they're newbies. They're total newbies, Pam. So they're looking at, you know, differences in ships, when they should go to the Caribbean, stuff like that. So what, just really quick general advice can you give Francesca to kind of get things rolling here?
Well, first of all, you're going to love a cruise, period, end of story. It is rare that we have a guest who goes on a cruise and comes back and says, you know what, we had fun, but that just isn't for me. It's very rare. In fact, most people come back and they're like, okay, let's start talking about my next cruise.
I used to love the parks. Now I'm going on cruises all the time.
Exactly. And you know why? It's because you get that touch of fun and adventure, but it is relaxing at the same time. And that's what we love so much about the cruise. One of the things you're going to want to know for not just Disney, but any cruise line, is the earlier you can book, most of the time, the best the price will be. Typically, most cruise lines have kind of a pricing that, as the number of cabins fill up, the pricing goes up on those cruises. So the day that it's released or soon after, you're going to see that lower pricing. And then as you get closer to your sale dates, of course, you'll see some higher pricing. So that's step one. Also, any time that you can book when children are in school will typically be less expensive. So if there's holidays and summer dates, you know, that you're looking at, just know that those will probably be a little more expensive than your off times. But you know, the other thing to note is that when you're looking at cruise pricing, most of the food and drinks are included in that price. Now, of course, not alcoholic drinks. But that's a big plus when looking at your vacation budget. It's very easy to budget for a cruise. The things you need to consider taking money for or planning for are things like gratuities and alcoholic drinks that you plan to consume. But when you think about it, food and entertainment's already included, and that's kind of a cool part of a cruise too. And then if you're looking and worried about getting seasick, first of all, know that the ships today are so big and have such state-of-the-art stabilizers that most people do not get seasick. But if you're concerned about that, the place you want to look in terms of having that the least amount of movement is going to be midship and toward the lower level. For me in particular, I don't ever get seasick, but I do at times if I can't open a window, that makes me feel a little ill. And having a veranda is not, I mean, it has to happen mm-hmm. when I travel. So there's just no way to not have it. If I can't at least open that or sit on the balcony at some point in time, that's something that doesn't make me feel very good. So that's something you may want to consider too. But cruising is just so fun, and especially a Disney cruise. When you think about the Broadway caliber shows that you're going to see, the food, the character interactions, the special events like Pirate Night, hello.
Yes.
Being able to visit Castaway Key is really a little bit of private paradise there for guests who are sailing on the Disney Cruise Line. So it's a great experience and you'll love it.
Yeah, Disney Cruise Line's totally made for those people that love the parks. I mean, you really get it because I you know, we've done many Disney cruises at this point, and you know, most of them have included a pirate night. So you're out in the waters and it's dark, and the whole thing is like, you know, I get the magic of Disney, but I tell myself, you know, these waters were probably traveled by pirates for real, like at one point in time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know they're putting on the hokey show with the skull guy, whatever his name is. What's his name? The guy with the skull, and he kind of narrates the pirate show there and all that. You know, that's all fun in games and Disney. But I mean, like myself, like I'm like, you know, it's the thing with cruising is it's very much a fantasy experience, but it's also based in the real world and real beautiful places, you know, so outside your veranda there, I mean, you may be seeing Cozumel, you're seeing Castaway Key, or you're seeing Nassau, you're seeing, you know, these wonderful, beautiful places, you know, which are real, and that's a real experience, but Disney brings the magic to all those places, which makes it so fun. So I think she'd love it.
Yeah, for sure. Good I times. Agree. Now I want to be on a cruise.
Oh, not too long. 2019, summer coming up. We'll have a countdown here pretty soon. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Oh, God, I love sailing. All right, let's get to the last question of the day, and it's from Veronica. Hey, BOGP crew, Veronica from New Jersey here. Mike, we spoke on a recent, Facebook Live listener question where you suggested Yachtsman Steakhouse for a good steak for our upcoming trip in December. Thank you for that. It has been added to the itinerary. All right, well, enjoy the steak and send me the
leftovers.
I'm
already the rolls. Let me just say, I know this is a steakhouse, but they bring out these fantastic rolls with cloves of garlic that have been roasted. They're soft as butter. Let me just tell you. Now I'm thinking about that.
Oh, sounds like Texas Roadhouse on a Tuesday. Maybe
no,
a little
it's
nicer.
Nothing like Texas Roadhouse.
Yeah, I'm saying it's probably not $6.99 if you go before six. I'm just saying. That's us. Anyway, two questions for everyone. Number one, the first day we fly in, we'll be going to that other park. This podcast is getting out of control here with all that other park stuff.
For a Universal podcast.
We'll do that in my 3 spare minutes. My girlfriend gets free passes with her job, so we figured it'd be the best way to spend our fly-in day without, quote, wasting money. We want to have a nice quick service dinner at a resort when we get back to Walt Disney World, and I'm torn between two: Sasagula at Port Orleans French Quarter and Geyser Point at Wilderness Lodge. We will be eating and also exploring a resort we've never been to with these two options. Suggestions. So it sounds like they're looking at the food court at French Quarter because there is no... Oh, they're the quick service, you said. So the Sasagula Float Works over at French Quarter or Geyser Point. I haven't been to Geyser Point. French Quarter's pretty good. I mean, it's a nice little food court area, about equal to Riverside's food court as well. You know, I wouldn't say it's anything special to write home about, but you could go back and forth between Riverside and French Quarter, catch a boat to Disney Springs. What would you say, Pam?
So I really like Geyser Point, the location of it, and that it looks out over the water there. I think Wilderness Lodge is an incredibly impressive resort. I know I always say this, but it really is. When you walk into the lobby, it is jaw-dropping. You just kind of stand and look around, and you can see other people when they walk into the lobby, and they do the same thing. You kind of walk in those front doors, and you sort of stop and just take in the beauty of that fantastic lobby with the fireplace and the view from the back of the resort. It's fantastic. It's so beautiful. So I'm going to give an edge a little bit to Geyser Point, because you'll be able to then see the Wilderness Lodge and you haven't seen it yet. And they also have some interesting offerings, including a bison cheeseburger. That's, you know, a staple there at the Wilderness Lodge. Artist Point often features dishes that have bison in them, but you know, they have also like a house smoked salmon salad as well. Another thing that, of course, Artist Point is just famous for is their smoked salmon. So that's the same there too. But it's just, you know, I love the location so much. So that's why I'm giving Geyser Point a little edge.
Sounds good. And the second question she has, Veronica is doing Life Right. So here we go. I have a personal mission to eat as many varieties of mac and cheese while we are there. Any must-haves? I already have different varieties at Flame Tree Barbecue and Animal Kingdom and Noodle Gratin at Summerfest in Epcot on the list. Thanks so much, Veronica, 364 miles from Pam. All right, so where else is there? Is there still the pot roast mac and cheese? That's gone, though, right, from Fantasyland? In Magic Kingdom, that,
yes,
I think it disappeared.
Didn't they replace it with some kind of tater tot, something or other,
yeah,
though?
I think they did.
But, well, I'm thinking about that. The one thing I want to mention is the last time we ate at Trail's End, which is over at Fort Wilderness, and that's a buffet, they had some of the creamiest mac and cheese.
You have to wait approximately 2.5 days to get your table, but once you get in there, you're golden. That's it.
It's true. There is quite a wait for that, but it was just a very... It's not like a baked mac and cheese that, you know, has egg in it and gets kind of fluffy. I love that mac and cheese too. By the way, this is a girl after my own heart, because I love macaroni and cheese. I'm just saying. And it's not like something we get to eat very often. So it's something that happens, I think, most of all on vacation. But that Trail's End one was so incredibly creamy. You may want to put that on your menu. I think the other thing was the Friar's Nook. Wasn't that the place that used to have the mac and cheese? I think they're doing something with tater tots, but I remember reading that story, but I can't quite remember them. Now, some of the mac and cheeses haven't been as good, I don't think, lately, because they tried to, are you ready for this? They tried to make mac and cheese kind of healthier.
Yeah, knock that stuff off. Like, seriously, I'm on vacation. I'll get healthy the other times when I'm back in boring St. Louis.
Well, plus I'm eating mac and cheese. I think I know what's in it. Macaroni and cheese, neither of which are very healthy. Yeah, so
about as healthy as those tater tots.
Exactly. So, you know, look at that. Now, here's the other thing. You know, at GECO, you can get that famous steak with their famous macaroni and cheese. And that is a meal for sure. When we're talking about mac and cheese, I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention that one. So it's really good, too. But I think you're looking more for the counter service ones. But I had to throw in two that were table service because they were really good.
And I think there may be a mac and cheese something or other at Fairfax Fair at the studios, if I recall, maybe from that sunset show when we're looking at the menus, but maybe not. But just check the menus.
They're always changing things, too. That's the thing.
All right. Well, good luck with that. And take those pictures and put them on Facebook. We'll all be jealous. There's nothing worse. So if you're sitting back at home and you're eating a turkey sandwich at your desk at lunch and somebody's showing some sweet mac and cheese from Disney, like, oh, you're winning, man. You're winning. That's how it is. I need to be on a mac and cheese mission my next trip. I think I'm going to have to steal that. Anyway. All right. Great questions today, everybody. Thanks so much. Ricky's going to be sad that she missed out on mac and cheese talk here on a Wednesday, but that's just how life is. She partied too hard. So anyway, we're going to do it again next Wednesday. Send in those questions, Mike at brguestpodcast.com. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky's not here to tell us what we're reading about this week, but you know what? You could read it yourself. Drop by virtualmickey.com. Download this awesome free iOS app, Theme Park News, Disney Edition. You can also get Virtual Mickey or Days to Go WDW over at virtualmickey.com. Make your Apple device a Disney device today. Again, virtualmickey.com. And don't forget about our new sponsor for today's show. We're excited to have them on board. It's our friends over at milksnob.com. As seen on ABC's Shark Tank, the iconic Milk Snob cover is a 5-in-1 and can be used as a cover for infant car seats, shopping carts, high chairs, infant swings, and even offers 360-degree coverage for nursing. Milk Snob's covers are designed, manufactured, and safety tested in the United States of America. If you're looking for the perfect baby shower or new mom gift, this is it. Even more exciting, Milk Snob has partnered with the wonderful World of Disney. They have just released a magical collection. We're thrilled to highlight each character they offer throughout this month. This week, let's talk about the mouse himself, because we have released a Mickey cover. Those famous ears peek through black and white stripes to show any parent's Disney style. Head over to milksnob.com to see their designs and make your first magical order. Again, that's milksnob.com. All right, don't forget to follow the show on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestMike. Facebook, we got a great group. Lots of Disney Cruise Line talk for BOGP Cruise 5. So swing on over there and join the group. We'll start a subgroup, but that's where it's going to start, over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, well, it's time to duck out of here until we get back again on Friday, where Pam is going to give us her thoughts on the 2018 Flower and Garden Festival. Why you need to be there right now. What are you doing? Why are you staying at home? Get going. Head south. Have fun. Spring training's going on. Flowers are popping. Get down there. So until we get back together again and talk some flower and garden, for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.